child, did anyone ever say to you or ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some of us are still wondering what we want to be when we grow up. But you may have said, yes, I want to be a bus driver. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a teacher. I want to be fill in the blank. All these things. What do you want to be when you grow up? Decisions. And then you young guys, you've probably just finished exams at school. Some of you are at a very crucial stage, and you're saying, what do I want to be? And you've got all sorts of choices ahead of you, all sorts of topics. Do I go to college? Do I go to university? Do I do a training course? What am I going to do? And which one of these am I going to choose? Decisions, decisions. And then for those of us who are beyond the school exam stage, thankfully, I'd hate to be back there again, wouldn't you? We have to make decisions. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Do I stay where I am? What am I going to be? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? In all these questions that are going on in our minds, I wonder how often we ask the question, what does God want me to do? What does God have in mind for my life? We may even ask the question, does God have a plan for my life? Does he have a plan for my life? Well, God's plans are sometimes referred to as God's will. And the Bible talks quite a bit about this. But what is actually meant by God's will? Well, theologians understand this in various ways. They talk about God's sovereign will, where he determines that certain things will happen and nothing can prevent this. For example, when Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane that it might be possible to escape the horrors of the cross that lay ahead of him, he says to his heavenly Father, yet not as I will, but as you will. God's sovereign will had determined that the way of the cross was the only route for Jesus to take to purchase salvation for his people. But God's will can also be understood in terms of commands or instructions that he gives us in his word. And this is often referred to not as God's sovereign will, but as God's revealed will. So various Bible verses tell us that it's God's will that we should live in this way or in that way or in the next way or whatever. And what I want to do this morning is to look at some of these instructions. And I've selected five of them from the New Testament. And the first biblical instruction is believe. That's the first thing. Believe. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, people asked Jesus what God the Father wanted them to do. And this is what Jesus replied: to believe in the one he has sent. John 6:29. Jesus was talking about himself. Believe in me, he was saying. So if we want to discover God's will or God's plan for us, this is where we need to start, by believing in Jesus Christ. Not just believing things about him, but placing our faith in him as the only one who can bring us into a right relationship with God. This is an essential starting point for living out all the other plans that he has for us. So there we are. The first thing is, first biblical instruction, believe. And we daren't bypass that one and go on to other ones that might sound more appealing. We start there, believe. The second instruction is, be spirit-filled. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17. And carrying on a few verses after that. Verse 17 begins, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So don't be filled with alcohol that will lead to drunkenness, but be filled, not just with something else, but with someone else, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, being Spirit-filled is not just for the pastor or for those involved in other forms of public ministry. It's for all followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it involves allowing His Holy Spirit access to every area of our lives, letting Him show us the changes that need to be made, the attitudes that need to be renewed, bad habits that need to be broken. And when we allow Him to work fully in our lives, He convicts us of those wrong things that we're thinking or saying or doing. He directs us in the route that we should take. And He empowers us to live in a right way. Being Spirit-filled is not a one-off event, but a lifelong process where we choose to give Him control on an ongoing basis. So, believe, be Spirit-filled. What's the next biblical instruction? Obey those in authority. Hey, this can be a tough one for some of us, can't it? Obey those in authority. There will almost certainly be times when we will need to make a choice as to whether we obey human authority or don't obey human authority. And that point will come when the human authority cuts across God's authority. But generally speaking, it is God's will for us to wholeheartedly obey those in authority over us. Ephesians 6 and verse 6 says this, obey them, that's the people in authority, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. We're also encouraged to do this for the Lord's sake. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. How well are we doing in this aspect of God's will for our lives?